أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جمعة مبارك. Many felicitations today because we celebrate the birthday of Imam Ali al-Naqi alayhi salam. Let's briefly look at his life. His mom was somebody called Sumana. We're told she's from the progeny of Umar Yasir, but do not know too much about her, only that she was a phenomenally awesome woman. He was born in 212 after Hijra in Surba, which was a suburb of Medina built by Imam Qadhim alayhi salam. He becomes an imam at a very young age, at the age of 8, and he's a child protege. His teachers sort of became his students. In particular, there was one person called Junaidi, a very well-known poet of his time, who was very old but very, very intelligent. And he was sent to tutor Imam. And when he's asked for feedback, he says, "I am the student and he's the teacher. I now understand what knowledge is. What I say is because what I have been taught by this young person." Imam held discussions in Masjid al-Nabi and in Mecca during the Hajj period. And Masjid al-Nabi became a center of learning. He served the longest period of imamate, besides Imam Zaman, ajalallahu faraja. So 34 years, and you can divide it into two parts. There were 17 years of freedom and 17 years under house arrest. A son was born to him in 232 after Hijra when he was 20. Now, a couple of years later, when he's in his early 20s, Mutawakkil becomes the Khalifa and he begins a reign of terror. Those who were not Muslims had to wear identifying badges. They could not hold any positions and graves were destroyed. He banned Ziyarah to Karbala or Najaf, ordering the graves of Imam Ali and Imam Hussein to be razed to the ground. There were mass protests on this, and these protests were allowed so people would come out, and then they were persecuted for it. So it was absolutely awful period. When Mutawakkil realized that people were still going for ziyarah, he ordered that all those who wanted to visit Karbala would have to have their fingers cut off. Then he said one hand and one foot. Then people would only be allowed to visit Karbala if one member of their family was killed. And still people wanted to visit Karbala. And when he saw that all had failed and it did not discourage the visits, he banned all visits completely. Mutawakkil then summons Imam Hadi to Samarra in about 236 after Hijra under the pretext of granting him respect as Ibn Ridha, the son of Imam Ridha, and then when he went there, he was placed under surveillance. But it was an opportunity for Imam, and he used this opportunity to prepare for the ghaibah of Imam Zamana. He spent his life setting up networks of representatives for the economic and educational well-being of the community in preparation for this ghaibah. Now in 247 after Hijra, Mutawakkil is killed by his son Muntasir, who revokes all his father's rulings. He stops the harassment of non-Muslims, the harassment of Shias, and he reinstates ziyarah to Najaf and Karbala. And then we find a quick succession in short periods of rulers because the leadership, the Khilafat, became weak. Now this was the period where al-Bukhari was active in collecting a hadith. It is Imam Hadi who arranged the coming of Sayyidina Narjis to Samarra so that she could be married to Imam Hasan Askari, and thus leading to the birth of Imam Mahdi. So we find that if we want to, in a nutshell, describe the life of Imam Hadi, or we might call him Imam Ali al-Naqi alayhi salam, he has spent his life setting up these networks, which today we emulate in being able to support the community in all sorts, in all their needs, basically. Imam Hadi fell ill in about 254 after Hijra, and it's reported it was an illness that was caused by the then ruler Mu'taz, and he died at the age of 42. He's actually buried in his house in Samarra. I'd like to end with some ahadith from Imam. So Imam was talking about du'a, And he says there are some prayers that Allah just accepts. And he says one of them is the prayer of a father for his child, if his child is dutiful to him. The second is the prayer of an oppressed person against his oppressor. And the third one is the prayer of a believer for his believing brother, if he comforts him, or if he doesn't, even then that prayer is accepted. He also had another hadith about prayers, and he says Allah always accepts the du'a after the wajib salah, the du'a during the falling of rain, and the du'a when one of the signs of Allah appears in his earth. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to be able to know our imams and be able to follow them so we truly become the shi'as of these imams. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ